I have a question, and this question is the title of my message. I have a question. Are believers still sinners? Are Christians still sinners? Do people who know God and love God and who are saved by the grace of God, do they still sin? Now, if you want to follow in the Bible while I answer this question, you turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Now, not long ago, I brought a message on this program entitled The Oneness of Believers. You remember that? The Oneness of Believers. Some of you do. The text was taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6, in which the apostle said, there's one body, that is one church, one body of Christ. There's one Holy Spirit who quickens, who regenerates, who calls, who comforts. There's one hope of your calling, and that hope is to be made like Christ. That's the blessed hope, to be made like Christ. There's one Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. There's one faith. I hear people talk about he's not of the same faith as we are. There's just one faith. That's the faith of God's elect. That's the faith that Peter defined when he said, we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the one faith. Christ said, upon this rock I'll build my church. There's one baptism. We're all baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. And he says there's one God and one Father of us all, who is above all, who's through all, and who's in you all. Oneness. Oneness. Well, besides this, all true believers and children of God have other things in common. They're very much alike. All believers are very much alike. They may come from Timbuktu or Louisa, Kentucky, but they're all alike to some extent. In that, first of all believers have a sincere love for and confidence in the Word of God. Oh, yes, they do. They reverence and love and enjoy and believe God's Word. The Bible is their only rule of faith and practice, wherever you find them. They say, thus saith the Lord. I believe this. God has spoken, and I believe what God says, all of them. And then secondly, they fear and they reverence and they worship the living God. Where you find believers, you'll find them worshiping God with somebody. Like David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Why, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than to live in the tents of the wicked. And believers do not forsake the assembling of themselves together. If there's somebody worshiping God in their area or vicinity, that's where they're going to be, because they fear God, they love God, they reverence God, they worship God. And then they all believe and love the Lord Jesus Christ. No, their faith's not perfect, but it's in Him. Their faith's not perfect, but it's perfectly in Him. In Him alone, not in anyone or anything else. Like Peter said, to whom shall we go? There's nowhere to go. No one to whom we can go. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. We're convinced you're the Son of God. Every believer, I know that. And they all hate sin. Believers hate sin. In themselves or in anyone else, they just hate sin. They long to be like Christ. Believers want their deeds and words and conduct and conversation to glorify God. They want that. They long to be a good witness of His grace and a good steward of His grace. Every one of them want to be like Christ. They hate sin. They despise it. They don't love sin. But all believers also Every believer, I don't care where you find him or her, every believer has an inward struggle with a sinful nature, and every believer has a conflict with the flesh. That's right. Paul said it best. Two scriptures. Paul declared this problem in two different scriptures that are so better than I can ever hope to put it. In Romans 7, verse 21, Paul said this, I find a law, I find a rule. A law is a rule. I find a rule that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Oh, I delight in the law of God. That's what I said. Believers love the law of God. They love holiness. They love truth. They love purity. They love beauty. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, in me, warring against the law of my mind, warring against this love for holiness and love for truth. I find that when I would do good, evil's present with me. And the things I would do, I do them not. And the things I would not think, do, or say, too often I do them. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then in Galatians 5:17, he said it again. He said, for the flesh, that's the old nature, the old man, born of flesh is flesh. The flesh lusteth, warreth is a better word, warreth against the Spirit. What's this Spirit? Born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And this flesh warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're enemies. These are contrary, he said, one to the other. So, you cannot do the things that you would. Either way, you would be perfect. Your spiritual nature, that law of mind in you that wants to be like Christ said, I will be perfect. And that old nature says, I will not be perfect. I will not. What are you saying, preacher? What are you saying? I'm saying this. The person who believes the gospel of Jesus Christ, really believes it, and truly loves God, truly loves the Word and believes God and worships God and hates sin and longs to be holy, I'm saying that person is still a sinner. He's a sinner saved, but he's a sinner. He's a sinner redeemed by the grace of God, but he's still a sinner. Now, men may despise this statement, but it's true nonetheless. Religious people may not be able to reconcile it. How can you reconcile such a thing? I'm not trying to reconcile it. I'm just preaching what God says and preaching what I know and what you know. It matters not if men wish to soften this statement or clarify this statement or tell me it's dangerous to make this statement or themselves refuse to make the statement. I'm still saying that the person who believes the gospel of Christ and is truly born of the Spirit of God is still a sinner. Yes, the true believer does sin. He sins every day. In fact, John said, see the text there, if you opened your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. Look back at chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, this is written to believers, we deceive ourselves. And the truth's not in us. In other words, we're liars. If we say we have no sin, we're liars. If we say, verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, if you come to the end of the day and you say, I've not sinned today, not in word, thought, or deed, well, you make God a liar because God said you did. And His word's not in us. There's none that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, as I said, the believer does not love sin. He loves holiness. The believer grieves over his sin. Do you not find that true? He lives in a constant state of repentance. He's always repenting. He's always coming to Christ. He's always weeping over his sins. He's always grieving over his sins. He'd rather be perfect. He'd like to be perfect. He'd like to be without sin. But no believer will deny sin because he's not a liar. He'll not deny his sin. He won't excuse it. He won't blame it on somebody else. He won't justify his sin. He knows it's his. David said, "My sin is ever before me." He didn't blame it on anybody else. My sin. My sin. And that's the way the believer is. He won't deny sin. He won't excuse it. He won't justify it. He won't blame it on somebody else. He knows it's his. And he knows in his flesh dwells no good thing. He knows in the flesh no man can please God. Yes, the believer is still a sinner. And I'll tell you this. Now you listen to me. This is very important what I'm about to say. If we do not understand this principle, if we don't understand and accept this fact that the believer is not perfect, he's perfect in Christ, perfect in the holiness of Christ, thank God for that, but he's complete in Christ, but he's not perfect in the flesh. And he doesn't go a day without sin. And he doesn't go a day without a conflict with sin. He's never without sin, sinful thoughts and in attitude. And I tell you, if you don't understand that, if you don't face that, if you don't admit it, one of two things is going to be the results. Now, if you don't admit this, you're sitting out there. You say, "Well, I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. But I don't understand what you're saying. I just can't believe believers sin." Well, now, if you don't admit that and you don't face it and you don't understand it, one of two things. You're either going to lie to yourself and lie to others and lie to God in claiming to be without sin. And if you claim to be without sin, you're lying to yourself. The truth, you're deceiving yourself, he said. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we're lying to other people. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. Now, that's dangerous. And the alternative is this. Or, realizing you are a sinner and not admitting that a believer sins, then you're going to be driven to despair and depression and think you're not saved. How can I be saved and think like this? Because the rest of them think like that. How can I be saved and say the things I say sometimes? Everybody who's saved says things they ought not say. God knows you're a sinner. The Bible says you're a sinner. Admit you're a sinner and seek mercy. And he says over there in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You understand what I'm saying? If a believer does not get hold of what I'm saying, if he does not understand that believers, truly saved people, where are you going to put David, Abraham, Lot, Solomon, Peter, Demas, all these men? They were all sinners, believers, but believing sinners. And if you don't face this, you're either going to be a liar or you're going to think you're not saved. You're going to throw up your hands and quit. But if you do, now watch this, if you do have an understanding of this nature, this flesh, this old man that's with us and going to stay with us till we put it in the grave, if you have a good understanding of the mercy of God and of the love of God in Jesus Christ, that Christ is our righteousness, that Christ is our acceptance, that Christ is our holiness, that Christ is our sin offering, that his blood does cleanse us. And when we fall, he lifts us. When we sin, he forgives us. When we fail, he pardons us. God loves his children. Are your children perfect? Well, when one of them does something wrong, do you kick them out? Oh, no, preacher. when one of your children does something he's not supposed to do, is he no longer a son? Do you take his name away from him? You're now John Jones. You're not mine anymore. Well, no, preacher. Are you better than God? If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give good gifts to his children? If your child asked bread, would you give him a stone? Meat, would you give him a serpent? A scorpion? God's children are his children. And if we understand the mercy and grace of God, we're going to have some peace. Some peace. We'll have peace with God. We'll have peace in here. And I'll tell you another thing. We'll have a little compassion on other people too. Well, preacher, how does a believer sin? Does he go out and get drunk? No. You know, the average person, when you mention sin, they think of drunkenness, adultery, killing, lying, stealing, all these things. But let me ask you this. Is not pride sin? Is not anger sin? Is not lust sin? Because you don't do a thing doesn't mean that it's not sin in you to think it is sin, Christ said. Our Lord said, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. I say unto you to hate in your hearts to be guilty of murder already. Is not jealousy sin? Is not selfishness sin? Is not covetousness sin? Is that not sin? Is not gossip, laziness, exaggeration, evil thoughts? Are these things not sin? Well, of course they are. And that's how a believer sins. He sins because of the imperfection of his nature. Sin's not just an outward act of evil. Sin's an attitude. Sin's a thought. The thought of foolishness is sin. Sin is a desire. Sin is the lack of perfection. It's a lack of holiness. I tell you, if a man or woman were to tell me today that he lives a single day without a thought of sin, a word of sin, or a deed of sin, I'd tell him he doesn't know God or himself or the Bible or salvation or anything else. No way. No way. But I'll tell you this. The fact that a believer is still a sinner, and he is, no question about it. And the believer has a constant conflict with the old nature. That does not deprive him of a saving interest in Christ. Our Lord came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost. He's called the friend of sinners. Go through the New Testament. Everywhere you see my Lord, you see a sinner. You see a sinner. John wrote, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful. He is faithful. Faithful to his word, faithful to his promise, faithful to his covenant, faithful to his son, faithful to his people. He's faithful and he's just. How can God forgive my sins, preacher? Because Christ paid for them. Because Christ's blood cleanses them. Because Christ is my substitute. He's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no sin the blood can't cover. There's no sin the blood can't put away. But if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar and his word's not in us. Now watch this. My little children, right on up to chapter 2. My little children. To whom do you suppose he's speaking? My little children. Well, he's speaking to believers. My little children. Believers. Same people he's been talking to back in chapter 1. My little children. These things write I unto you. All these things that I've said that you sin not. I encourage you, walk in the Spirit. Don't walk in the flesh. Strive against that old nature. Strive against that old flesh. Strive against that old sin. Mortify that flesh. Put down that lust and envy and pride and anger and jealousy and all these things that he's talked about. Put that down. Push it down. Mortify it. Press it down. It'll be a constant battle. because it'll constantly come up again because you're still in the flesh, you're still a person. Mortify, I write unto you little children that you sin not, but if any man sin, if you do, I think that if ought to be when. I think it ought to be when. My little children, God can't command you to sin. He commands you not to. The disciple can't, the apostle has to command us not to. That's what the word commands us not to. Don't sin. Fight it, mortify it, suppress it, strive against it. But when a man sins, we have an advocate. What is an advocate? It's a mediator. An advocate is a lawyer. An advocate is one who pleads your case, who pleads your cause. We have an advocate. We have a mediator. When we sin, we've got somebody to go to the Father for us, and it's Jesus Christ the righteous. Let's take those words one at a time for a moment. This good news. I tell you, I couldn't wrap this message up without giving this good news, because we'd all go out of here depressed, wouldn't we? My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, but when you sin, remember this, you have an advocate with the Father. An advocate. We have a mediator. He's there now. We have him. He's there now. We have a great high priest. We have a Savior. We have a justifier. We have a Savior right now. And he's with the Father. He's at God's right hand. His very presence is our acceptance. Do you know this? That from this sinner whom Christ represents and that sinner whom Christ represents, for us to be accepted of the Father, Christ doesn't have to say anything. I hear people say he's pleading for us and praying for us. The Bible does not say that. It says he maketh intercession for us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And all he has to do to make intercession for us is to be where he is. Because he's in us and we're in him, and God has accepted him and he's seated on the right hand of the Father. When I sin, the Father doesn't look at me. He doesn't look to me for perfection. He looks to my representative. I'll tell you this, and you go to court, the judge's not going to deal with you. He's going to deal with your advocate. He's going to deal with your lawyer. He won't ask you a thing. He'll ask your lawyer. And you won't say anything either. And that's the way the believer, the Father, thank God he doesn't deal with us. He deals with our advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate, and he's with the Father. Who is it? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Where you find that word mentioned first in the New Testament? Matthew 1, thou shalt call his name Jesus, Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. That's the one. It's my advocate, my mediator. It's Jesus, the one who came to save his people from sin. It's Jesus Christ. Who's the Christ? Well, he's the anointed. He's the anointed. He's the appointed one. He's the approved. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one God sent. He's my mediator. And he's the righteous. I wouldn't have any other mediator. I got to have one the Father accepts. And the Father accepts him. He's righteous. He's holy. He's without sin. You see that? He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. If any man sin, we have an advocate who is with the Father, who is none other than Jesus, Savior, Christ, Messiah, righteous. Jesus Christ the righteous. Now watch this carefully. I want you to read that. You know, sometimes we read the Bible too hurriedly. We miss some great riches and treasures. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. Did you hear that? What did it say? Let's say it again. If any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a mediator. Now, it does not say if any man sin, he's lost. It doesn't say if any man sin, he'll have to get resaved. It doesn't say if any man sin, he's forfeited his place in the kingdom. It doesn't say if any man sin, he no longer has a mediator. It says if any man sin, he has an advocate. My friends, a man who's not a sinner doesn't need an advocate. A man who's not a sinner doesn't need a mediator. Maybe that's the reason so many people in my day are not coming to Christ, are not believing on Christ. They're not looking to Christ. They're trying to find salvation in a church or in a profession or in a baptism, or maybe they're not sinners. But this fellow's a sinner, and I need a mediator. And it does not say if any man be holy, he has an advocate. What does a holy man need with an advocate? It doesn't say if any man be perfect, he has an advocate. What does a perfect man need with an advocate? It says if any man sin, he has. If any man sin, we have a mediator. We have an advocate with the Father, who is Jesus Christ the righteous. And that's the man who needs a mediator, the sinner. That's the man who needs a Savior, a sinner. I tell you, the gospel demands honesty, and it's time for us to be honest before God. God doesn't show mercy to liars. He doesn't. God is truth, and we'll meet God in truth, or we'll meet God in judgment. All right, if you want this message, it'd be yours, $2. I'll send you this message and the one I brought last week on the righteousness of God. And this one, is the believer still a sinner? Until next week, God bless you, everyone.